That is a great way to start our time of worship and celebration. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you so much for the time and the opportunity that we have to come and to worship you today. Thank you for our choir and Father, how they lead us, and Nancy and the instrumentalists as they guide our music worship time. And Father, I pray that this time is not a time just to sing words, but Father, to sing from the heart with full meaning of those words. And so our desire is to faithfully lift up our voices, focus our minds and our hearts upon you. And God, I ask that your presence be known here and that we continue to experience the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by his Spirit, that today, Father, we will meet you. And Father, we will make decisions to allow you to use us in a powerful way as we go about your business during this week. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us today. And listen, if this is the first time that you've been here, there's a guest card in the pew in front of you. Just fill it out in its entirety. Drop it in the offering plate. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, to go ahead and to stand as the choir has sung as we continue our time of worship.
In Psalm 47, we read these words. Sing praises to our King, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. Sing to the King. Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain.
Light and salvation,
his empire shall bring. Joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Sound. joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire.
I've been asked to lead the prayer this morning, and I would like for you to be praying also, not so much listening to what I pray, but listening with your heart to the message the Lord has for you today. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so grateful to be in this place, to be a part of this family. You have allowed it to happen that we would be here together today, Lord. It can be very different if we are listening and what you're saying to us is important. Even for me, Lord, the message that you have by just our presence and sharing the songs of praise, allowing us to be quiet and yet to be rejoicing with the songs that we sing. Allow, Lord, that this entire day of worship will be just that, real worship. And so, Lord, use our voices, use our thinking, use our being a part of the family of God today. For those who have extreme difficulties, Lord, illnesses, hospitalizations, put down away from others by having to be in a separate place today. May your will be done in all of our lives, especially, Lord, with these who need your care. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, who is here with us now. Amen.
Who's in my family? Yeah, if you looked at a picture of ours, we'd certainly look different. We have 2 biological children. We have 3 adopted children. So certainly if you look at a photo, you see brown hair, you see dark skin, you see blonde hair.
And certainly we do get weird looks, but the great thing is seeing the Lord work and do things that you never even dreamed possible.
The call to adopt came out of intimacy with the Lord, just like our calling to plant this church. I'm the church planting pastor of Refuge Church in the Ortega community of Jacksonville. We've been here about 2.5 years. It was a community that was very unreached, and being there, the Lord just began to kind of do something in our heart.
We didn't set out to plant a church for foster and adoptive families. It really just happened. The Lord did it.
A lot of our church has become people from this community who are fostering or who are adopted, so we share that in common. People are longing for community. And when you add the layer of taking on people and children from difficult places, it's not easy. It's not comfortable. I think the reason they've shown up here, there's a big closet full of diapers and shoes and strollers and car seats, and they see that and they come here to get a need met. Through that, they build a relationship. Next thing we know, they're in our church on a Sunday. And I think about the amount of children who come to our church who, if families didn't say yes to foster care and adoption, those children would never hear about Jesus. They'd never hear the gospel. This is the calling that God has for us. And when people give to Annie Armstrong, you're able to support those who are on the front lines of gospel work. And people hear the gospel who would never have a chance to hear the gospel.
Again, in the pew racks in front of you are offering envelopes for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. You'll see in the bulletin that our church goal is $9,204. $400 was received last week. And I encourage you to continue praying what the Lord would have you to give toward that mission work. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Let's sing. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. And no one ever cared for us like Jesus. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above.
Church family. Our scripture readings for today are from the book of Chronicles and the book of Zechariah. Please follow along as we are blessed by the reading. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Zechariah 8:20-23. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come, and the inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going. And many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and to entreat him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you. We are uplifted by these scriptures, because these are the words of the Lord.
If my people are called by my name shall humble themselves, shall humble themselves and pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall seek my face
When my father was just a boy, they didn't travel much, and one particular trip they were making, they stopped in what was classified as a motor inn. Anybody ever stayed in a motor inn? This little one room, and they were just separate buildings, had a little overhang that they would call a place to put your car. And my dad, having grown up and at that time not really knowing a lot about electricity, because they were homesteading in Pytown, and they used lamps and those kinds of things. He was interested in this new phenomenon that he was engaged in. And he looked at what would be considered almost a garage. And he saw this wire hanging down. And he thought to himself, I wonder what that is. Had this little receptacle out of it. Didn't really know what that was. And so being a boy, he climbed on top of the car that was parked in there, got to the top of it, and he stuck his finger in there. And you know, my father never did that again. He made the connection that you don't do that. If you do this, this is what happens. And I think that when we come together as the body of Christ, it's important for us to also make the connection spiritually with the presence of God. We need to make the connection as we see God moving in our midst and around us. And it's important that we take time with God to spend in His presence, to be willing, in fact, to stay in His presence until He releases us. That means it doesn't necessarily happen within our time frame, and we're very time conscious as a people. We have lots of time pieces on our wrist, on our phone, in our houses. We have them in probably just about every room in this facility, and they're not all exactly the same. So we're very conscious about that. But when we become serious and we want to make the connection of the time that we spend with God, that we stay with Him until He's through with us, and then He can use us to accomplish and put us in the place where He has planned, because we have stayed in His presence. Now, what does that look like? There's one example that that I think is important in Zechariah chapter 8. And I appreciate the reading. Verse 23, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you. I'd like for you for a few moments to superimpose this upon your own life as a follower of Jesus Christ. How many people seek you out and say to you, I want to go with you because the presence of God is with you? How many people seek you out? How many people say, take me with you because I hear that God is with you? When you pray to the Lord, heaven responds. I have sought you out that together we can pray to the Lord. In our midst, there are some people that others have gone to for that very purpose. It is affirming. But can we all say that? Well, there are probably many that say, oh gosh, I've never had somebody come up to me and say, hey, let me take your hand, let me take your arm. I hear God is with you, and when you pray, heaven answers. I want to be in that presence. I want to understand that. said, nobody's ever done that. I think about the woman that had been in Matthew chapter 9 that had been hemorrhaging for years. And she came and she touched the hem of the Lord's garment. She had faith in him. She knew that the presence of the Father, the power of God was upon him and came upon her and healed her. And you say, but Pastor, that was Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus said in John 14, 12, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. So we have no excuse but to know that when we are in the presence of God, God will use us powerfully. It will draw people to us. Why is that? Because he has sent the Paraclete, the Helper, the Holy Spirit upon us at our point of salvation. Oh, that our people would look at our church and look at each one of us and say, we want to go with you because God is with you. So that's what the presence of God looks like in our lives. When people are drawn to you because of the sense of God's presence. And God has a plan. How can this happen? God's plan for spiritual awakening. It's God's plan to bring us into his presence so that we'll spend the time with him, so that we ourselves will come to a place of humility and say, God, I just want you to shine through me. That's what Luann read just a few moments ago as well, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That is a powerful passage. And you've heard sermons on that passage. But I want to dig deeper. I don't want to just take this verse, which is God's plan of how we can be in his presence. And I want us to understand what it means. First, we look at God's call to his people. He's calling in this passage his people. His people to repentance and spiritual cleansing so that the lost world might have hope. If they look at us and they don't see the presence of God in our lives, that does not give hope. It just confirms hopelessness. One of the greatest tragedies in the spiritual realm, in the church realm, as a church, as our denomination, as churches globally, is if we felt like that we wanted and had moderate success on our emphasis of prayer and spiritual awakening, but the people of God in the midst of that great campaign never repented themselves. And so we go into it with half power because we have not experienced that spiritual cleansing. You know, God desires great awakening. But we may be satisfied with just a small revival because we don't want the inconvenience to repent, to really have to dig down in our mind and our heart and our soul into the crevices to find out where maybe I have something harbored. I have something that I've pressed back so far that I don't want to deal with it at all. And it's hindering us from having the full power of experiencing God and allowing God to use us in such a powerful way. You see, there's not a lot of us that are on fire for God and God's desire. You say, well, Pastor, we're a senior adult church. I can show you a lot of folks that are on fire in our season of life. The reality is that every day 265,000 people die without God and without hope around this globe, totally separated from God for all and eternity. Every single day. So God calls his people for a purpose. His call is to be faithful. In our passage, there is an urgency to to prepare for God's moving in our nation and in our world. The saying is true, as go the people of God, so goes a nation. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, which we know very well, I believe it needs to be seen in the context of 2 Chronicles chapter 6. But to understand 2 Chronicles chapter 6, I believe you have to really understand Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're not going to read all of that, but listen to the first two verses of chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. If you fully obey the Lord God and carefully follow His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord God. Here God is saying to His people, the people that He has called, if you walk in my ways and if you keep my commandments and my statutes and my judgments, this is what I'm going to do. And for the next 14 verses through Deuteronomy 28:14, He clearly delineates, says, this is what I'm going to do. If you will follow me, here are the blessings that are going to come. Here the presence of God is going to be in your midst. These are the things that are going to happen to you if you will follow me. The rains will come in its season. The crops will be productive. The herds will multiply. Your children will be blessed. Your enemies will be defeated. Diseases and plagues will not come upon you. Everything you put your hand to, I will bless. That's what He says. I want to remind you that this message is a follow-up from last Sunday in Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 5. In there, we understood that that passage in Isaiah, you cannot superimpose upon the United States or any other country, because that was given to God's covenanted people. Today, because of God's blessing, Jews and Gentiles now can come to the Lord and are His people. And so this is a direct reference for us as well. As the people of God who are called by God, we've got to obey what He has said. And He says, if you do that, I will bless you. And in return, the nations will be blessed as well. Unfortunately, so many times there is a failure to follow God's call. Because God goes on to say in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28, if you do not, and you turn and walk in your own ways, and you forsake the ways that I have given you and turn aside to something else, if you do these things, and then He goes on, and for the next 54 verses, He talks about all the reversal of the blessings that He would be willing to give. And so it's really a simple process. As the people of God, you obey me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You follow me. You love me. You keep my commandments. But if you don't, He says, if you forsake me, then when you come against your enemies, you'll be defeated. In fact, I personally will see that you were defeated. I will send you diseases and plagues that will affect your children and your grandchildren. Rain will not come in its season. Now listen, if the rain does not come quickly, make the connection between your sin, your lack of faith, and the consequences that have come. If diseases come, make the connection between the diseases and your sin. Deuteronomy 28 has to be taken in the context of a sure acknowledgement that this is a movement of God, that this blessing or this reversal blessing is from Him. And about 450 years later, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon is praying with great earnestness, dedicating the temple. And he gives 7 clear petitions to the Father. So I'm going to quote it loosely and superimpose on this passage in 2 Chronicles 6 what I believe Deuteronomy chapter 28 says in this prayer. Solomon comes before God in the dedication of the temple. And he says, God, if your people are defeated by the enemy, then quickly make the connection that it is their sin causing the defeat, and they cry to you and repent of their sins. Oh God, if your people see that there is no rain, but they make the connection and cry unto you and repent of their sins, will you hear from heaven? Will you hear the prayer in this place? Will you forgive their sins, O God? Would you restore them once again into the relationship of favor? Solomon's prayer is so reflective of Deuteronomy 28 that, God, if your people come to realize that they're not on the right track and these consequences are coming and they are not being the influence in the nation of Israel, in the day in which we're talking about and speaking about, or with His called people, the ecclesia, locally and around this globe, if they make the connection, will you hear? Now, some today might be saying, well, does it really relate today? I mean, that's Old Testament. And he was obviously praying about the dedication of the temple. God was speaking. Was it really for us today? Can we take it to heart? Can we take the principles? Well, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the principles with which He focuses upon His coveted people, those that He has called and who follow His name, then we need to take them to heart. So we move from the 6th chapter of 2 Chronicles, which brings some context to Deuteronomy, or from Deuteronomy 28, and we come now to the 7th chapter that is so familiar. And look at verses 10 through 12. And we'll take this to heart. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, He sent the people to their homes, joyful and glad in heart for the good things the Lord had done for David and Solomon and His people Israel. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord in the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all that he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple of sacrifices. That is a profound statement. Number one, that God appears to Solomon after his prayer of dedication. But he confirms the temple to be the temple of sacrifices, for repentance, looking forward to what Christ was going to do. But in the midst of that, sacrifices would be made, asking God to forgive of sin in Old Testament days. Now, watch what God says in verses 13 and 14. In verse 13, he says, listen, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. He said, hey, if there's no rain, make the connection between your sins and no rain. And it's the same with the locusts and the plagues. And then he says in verse 14, but if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And I believe that we, as the people of God, need to come back to what God is trying to say. I think it's important for us in our day, as we look at the scriptures and the principles and lay it out before us in the context in which we live, and it would be different in every single country. But as the people of God, I think we need to look out across our land and we need to try to make some connection. How many times have we gone out in the last 60 years as the people of God against the enemy and we have been defeated? Prayer in schools, marriage between a man and woman only, abortion on demand, the transgender issue, the gender-affirming therapy for children, pornography, drug and substance addiction, decriminalization, riots. Can you look out in our nation and genuinely say the people of God are making a difference? Or are we seeing all around us the results that we have not continued in the presence of God as a church? Believers are going out against the enemy and they're coming back defeated because we're not making the connection. And the problem is not with secular society. I want you to hear that. They're not redeemed. Their hearts have not been changed. Their minds have not been transformed to the mind of Christ. The problem is with the church of the living God. The problem is that we've not walked with God and in the power of God's power and His presence. No, don't misunderstand me. We pray. There, we have some incredible prayer warriors here. But as the church across this nation, we're not making an impact. In fact, the church in this nation is fractured. And so, no wonder we don't have that strong spiritual leadership. We're not taking on the intimate presence of God in our lives that just radiates everywhere. And that people are wanting to come to us and say, you are a person who walks with God. I want to find out. I want to understand. I want to be in your presence because God speaks to you and walks with you. That's the kind of difference that He wants. But we're a little anemic in the realm of prayer and God's presence and the church in general. And that's where God comes. And He calls in the 7th chapter, the 14th verse of 2 Chronicles. Because, you know, we say in our minds, he wants repentance, but we say in our minds, God is the answer. And we tell the nation, friends, Jesus is the answer. But we only have given half the formula. Jesus is the answer. God is the answer. But like Israel, as the people of God today, the church of the living God, We've got to make the connection. God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, turn from their wicked ways. Here's the mystery of God. The mystery of God is that he chooses to bless a nation through his own people. And our nation has been blessed from the very beginning. Not without hardship and challenges and not without divisions and those things, but through the ages, this has been a place that everybody wanted to come to. And I believe with all of my heart that that is because of the Christian influence and men and women who just walked with the Lord. They might not have had the cognitive, theological education that so many have today, but they had a faith in God like that woman who was hemorrhaging and just wanted to touch the hem of his garment because that's where the power would come from. Just simple faith to let God's presence through you change a nation. But the reality is that where God's own people are not what they should be, the whole nation suffers. And we hold the key as believers. We're the ones with the light. We're the ones with the transformation. We're the ones with the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in our life. We have the ability to make the choice to move forward and to be the presence of Christ in this place, in the community to which we live. He wants to sing the praises of his people who walk with him. But there's something that has to happen, and that is confessing our sins before God. You see, it's not about just coming to church. It's not about being on teams. It's not about smiling on Sundays or taking the extra effort to come to Bible studies at different times. It's not about the programs or the events. What God wants is he wants us to have a relationship with him, not only as Savior, but as Lord of our life. And in doing that, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Also, we find that Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I say. You will follow my commands. It's a pretty contrasting term. Then he goes on to say, but if you do not love me, you do not follow my commands, you do not love me. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? And so he expects us to do this. But we have to make the connection. We can't just say, everything's okay. Everything's all right. I'm just one person. You're part of the body of Christ. And around this world, believers need to make a firm decision. It's interesting. In confessing our sin before God, Daniel chapter 9 is a powerful passage, and sometime I want you to go back and read it. But it gives great insight. Daniel was probably the most righteous man of his day, right standing before God. If there was anybody righteous, that would be him. But his prayer was amazing. Israel was going through some pretty difficult times, and they were not following God, or his people were not. And it's interesting in Daniel chapter 9 that he doesn't say, Lord, I thank you for keeping me walking with you in spite of all the wrong the Israelites are doing. Please do something with Israel. That's not what he prayed, even though he was probably the most righteous man. No. What we find is 23 times in just a few verses, Daniel said, we have sinned. It's us, O Lord. It's not them. Of all people, he should be the one to say, God, they're going bad, but I ask that you intervene. He says, no, we. Because there's not a one of us perfect here. We all contribute to some degree or another. And so even the most righteous, the ones with the most biblical knowledge, the ones with the most experience in the realm of church ministry, engagement in teams, with a deep walk with God in the realm of prayer, we have to follow this example and say, Lord, as the church of the living God, we have sinned because we're not making a difference. Let's make the connection. I think of Moses in Exodus 32:32, and I think of Paul in Romans chapter 9 and verse 3, when they were so concerned about their people that they said, God, blot my name out of your book so that my people might not face judgment. Do you know the significance of that statement for both Moses and Paul? The sacrifice, the willingness to step up and say, this is my intervention. Just take me out of the eternal book. That's how passionate they were about their people. My friends, we should have that kind of passion about a world that's lost, so that we want to make that kind of difference. We want to have the presence of God in our lives where people are coming to us and say, please help us understand the presence of God in your life because I see it. Some will say, nah, I'm too righteous to include myself. But the reality is you're not. I'm certainly not. I have to cast my lot with the rest of our church and churches around the globe because it's been on my watch in 40 years of ministry that we have seen an incredible decline in our nation as far as spiritual life goes. And I have to say, God, forgive me. Forgive us. I think it's time for us to come before God as God's people to be cleansed. Have a serious conversation with God about confessing and repenting and asking forgiveness. I think it's time for us to follow actually what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says and put it in our context today. I think it's time for us to humble ourselves before God and to plead for our nation and the lostness and darkness in our nation with people so confused, they need the hope. He says, if my people, are you willing? Father, we move into our time of invitation. And very specifically, I'm just asking this morning that we would come before your presence in the pews where we're sitting, at the altar up front, that during this time of invitation, during this time with you, where we have the opportunity ourselves to respond to you and your word, that God, that's what we would do. That we would act in humility. That we would regain a passion for those who are lost around us. That we would desire that intimacy with you. And that your presence, God, over time would be such that people would come to us and say, I need to talk to you. I think you have hope. Could you pray with me? And God, whatever decisions or rededications need to be made or people coming to join the church or whatever decision this morning. God, the most important thing is that when we leave this place, we have made the decision that you desire us, that your Spirit has spoken to us about. That we would be your people. In your presence, giving ourselves to you to give you glory and honor and to accomplish the desires of your heart on the people of this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand, but just bow your heads for a few moments. You and God, just speak, just talk, and then we'll sing a couple of verses of invitation, and as God leads you, you make your decision public, or you make it private right where you are. Please respond to God. Let's sing together.
Just as I am.
Seated, if you would. In your bulletin, there is an insert, and that insert talks about our activities for Holy Week. I hope that you'll take a look at it. Either put it in your refrigerator or give it to some neighbors, if you would. There are more out in both lobbies for you to take, to give and distribute as many as you want. They'll have something different to give you next week as well, but we want as many people in our community to know about Holy Week and to be engaged. It is one of those special times in our church's life and has been for years. God will speak powerfully through that week of Palm Sunday through Easter Sunday. So please take the opportunity to do that. And talking about making a connection today, Bob, I think the mission team has something that they would like to say, and then Miss Nancy will take it from there.
Part of the missions team here at our church, we go through the process of doing ministry to all kinds of people. Sometimes we don't stop and think about it, we just go ahead and do it. We do it, however, as the missions team and every other team we have at our church, because God has led us to do so. We give money all around the world, but sometimes we forget that we also give money at home, and we have done that. Pastor, today, I want to give you this. It comes from New Life Center, Pregnancy Center. This represents the ministry of our church. Now, let me make just a statement or so very quickly, and I'll be finished. Our church gives all around the world, but we do it at home. not just from our missions team, but every single team we have in the church. And I want to read to you what was given to us, just so that you have an idea, from New Life Pregnancy Center. This year, 13 pregnancy tests, 6 ultrasounds, and those resulted in the mother not having an abortion. You had a part of that. All kinds of material is given. 256 people attended Bible studies, and there were salvations that took place. 234 went through parenting classes. 500 people who work and volunteer there have prayed with individuals. Bibles have been given. Volunteer evangelism training. I'm going down through this, it's a long, and I haven't even got my glasses on, I can barely read it. But it's so much that our church has done. I want you to listen to this. Our church gave 2,830 bundles of diapers, which is a part of a total given all throughout the city of 45,450 diapers. More than 2,840 diapers for children, wives, rather. Almost 3,000 gifts of clothing was given, formula, baby supplies, bags, hygiene given, maternity clothes. Our church is a part of that, of saving lives of children. We have the blessing and the opportunity to give. This church is amazing in the gifts that they do give. And this pastor is to say thank you to our church. Thank you for your leadership, for the ministry throughout every program in our church. We've had individuals, men and women alike. Some of the women have sewn blankets. They have given all kinds of gifts simply because they loved and they cared. The good news is children are being born. Mothers are finding Jesus. And guess what? We still have time and the money to give because God has blessed us. Thank you for all you do. If you'd like to see this list so you can read it, I'd be welcome. You're welcome to give it. See it? Look at it. Thank you, church, for your ministry. For the heart that's open and arms that are wide to embrace those in our community and around the world to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Bob.
I draw your attention to the back of the bulletin where there are some things that very quickly I want to point out. On the 21st, which is Thursday of this month, His Only Son will be the movie shown at 1. There's a sign-up sheet in both lobbies for you to sign up if you are coming for the lunch at 12:30. The lunch is $5. The movie is free. We don't need you to sign if you're coming just for the movie. But for lunch, yes, we do need you to sign. There's also a second sign-up sheet in both lobbies about a fellowship group for men and women that hopefully will be put into place soon if you are a golfer. So take advantage of that. Next Sunday during worship, the entire time will be devoted to the observance of the Lord's Supper. You will not want to miss that. And then tomorrow, the Women's Fellowship lunch. Bring your lunch at 12 noon, ladies, and hear Nadine Flash as she shares her personal journey. As Nora Jewell comes to lead us in prayer for our closing, would you stand, please?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that you gave us to be here feasting at your table. Thank you for all the words that we heard. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship you. And as we leave this place now, help us to remember that even if we go to some valleys or situations difficult for us, it's not that difficult because we walk with you by our side. You hold our spirit, you hold our soul. And help us also to remember that, as Pastor taught us, we have to be the light and make the difference outside, around our families, in our places, in our neighborhoods. Help us to make the difference and lead others to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. Amen.